Born to broadcast, television news anchor, radio news anchor. This lady knows Lansing and is about to let you in on the latest. 1320 WILS presents Cheryl Fritz, your host for Fritz and Friends.
And welcome to Fritz and Friends this Thursday evening. Thank you for joining me. I'm Cheryl Fritz along with Emily, coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. A big day at the Capitol today with a budget agreement being reached. Joining me on the phone now, Ari Adler, who is spokesman for House Speaker Republican Jace Bolger. Good evening, Ari. How are you?
Good evening, Cheryl. I'm doing well.
A flurry of activity in the last couple of days. An announcement this afternoon that leaders of the Republican-led Michigan legislature and Governor Snyder announced a budget deal today. Tell us some of the details as we know them.
Well, one of the key things, I think, is that we do have an agreement to move forward, and that means that we are well underway to meeting the May 31st deadline that everyone has agreed to for this year's budget. So that is very good news. But the other key thing, I think, in all of this is that we have a structurally balanced budget that is ready to go. So that means that we are balancing this year's, or it would be actually technically next year's budget, without one-time money moving around for ongoing spending. If we had one-time money to spend, we were spending it in a way that was going to help eliminate future debt or to help pay down some of those liabilities that until now have been avoided by previous administrations and are piling up on our kids and grandkids at some point. And we've also done what we could to listen to educators, for example, when you look at the K-12 portion of the budget, and try to mitigate some of the original reduction that was proposed for the K-12 schools, but we did it in a way that is fiscally responsible and calls for some reforms in spending. So we were able to listen to and help the taxpayers who said, hey, you can't just keep handing out money. You have to reform spending as well.
Now, the K-12 education budget has gotten an awful lot of attention and back and forth from both sides and of course, rallies. It's too many to number. But the cut back significantly on that, the cut from $300 a pupil for the original budget plan, and we're now cutting it back by $200, it looks like.
Yeah, we would be at about $100 per pupil or around 1.9%, so less than a 2% cut, which is certainly one of the smallest, if not the smallest, reductions in all of state government spending. And that's about half of where we were. You know, we were at about 3.9 when the governor originally made his proposal, and then we went to 3.5 in the House proposal, and now we've got this agreement where we're down about 1.9% or $100 per pupil.
And yet some of those on the other side of the aisle are saying that's not enough.
Well, there are some who would never be satisfied that it is never enough. But we have heard from superintendents in schools who said, look, if you just hand us, you know, give us all $300 back per pupil, it will be okay for this year, but we will be right back here again next year saying that we still have budget problems and we can't deal with the spending and the expenses that are going on. So we had to do something that would help them have some power to structurally reform what they're doing locally as well.
And how does this do that for them, Ari?
Well, there are a couple different things that have been done to bring that reduction down. And one of those is we are going to provide some funding to help offset the cost of the retirement program, as known as the MPSRS pension program. So we'll help the districts pay for some of that this year. That's some one-time money that was available. So we're helping with that. And then the second and key part, I think, is that we have what equates to about $100 per pupil will be put into a special fund and will be available to school districts that meet what we're referring to as financial best practices. So things like getting health insurance under control in terms of maybe an 80-20 or a 90-10 split in terms of the percentages that are being paid by the school district and taxpayers versus what's being paid by teachers. We're looking at things like, are they competitively bidding large expenses for non-instructional services? Are they working together and coordinating services and expenses however they can between school districts? One of them that was suggested is we're looking at, and this list is almost final, but not there yet, but we're looking at should the districts provide a report card home to parents to let them know what's going on. So it's one of these things where, and the speaker has said this, look, the schools don't have to be perfect. They just show us that they have to show us that they're doing good things and moving in the right direction. So there will probably be about five of these financial best practices, and if a school district can check off four of them, you know, that's good. Here's your $100 back per pupil, and do good things with it.
And this extra money that we're talking about, this was the surplus found after the consensus revenue estimating conference on Monday?
Yeah, it is the one. When we say the one-time money, that's what that refers to, is we have money that under the revenue estimating conference, they believe that there will be additional funding available. And so that was where we decided, though, we would not use that one-time money for ongoing expenses. We were not going to add it to the base funding for schools or for anything else in state government. We were going to use it to address some immediate needs, for example, in K-12, or addressing some long-term needs in terms of paying off some of our debt. And we also have a plan here where we can start putting some money away back in what they refer to as the budget stabilization fund, or the savings account, essentially, for the state government, in case other things happen that we need to address that have not been planned for in the economy, or in case the revenue estimators weren't quite right, and we don't end up with some of that money coming in like we thought.
And with doing this with the per pupil amounts of money, are you able to spend down some of that debt and then put some in the savings account as well? Is all of that in this budget as it currently stands?
As it currently stands, we are able to do that. We're able to help the schools with their short term, with this one-time money, helping them out this year. We're able to structurally balance the budget in a way that we're helping with long-term debt. We're able to put some money into savings. You know, currently the state savings account has about $2.5 million, which the numbers I've seen would mean we could run state government for about 30 seconds on that. So it's not really going to, it's essentially there's no money in savings. And, you know, as we tell our families, hey, make sure you're saving and keeping money aside in case something, you know, unexpected happens. And then state government hasn't been doing that. So we need to get back into the practice of doing that.
And this has allowed us to do that a bit, to get started on that again.
We are started on that. And the other thing, too, and this gets really deep in some of the accounting terms and things, but as I understand it, because we're able to pay off some of the liabilities for retirement and pension and other things that we have in this state, being able to pay some of it down means that we'll have much more savings in the future. So it's kind of the equivalent, as I've been able to understand it, if you make that extra house payment every year on your mortgage, it really makes a significant difference in the amount of time it takes to pay off that mortgage on your house. It's the exact same idea when it comes to state debt.
We're talking about the timeline, of course. Again, right off the top, you said, you know, early on, I'm not sure who would have believed that Governor Snyder's budget proposals could go through and a budget could be finalized before that deadline. It's sure looking like that's a very real possibility and will happen now.
It absolutely is looking like it's going to happen. And a lot of people were saying it couldn't be done, especially when the governor also proposed massive tax restructuring. Don't forget, we already got that done as well. So it was interesting. I was talking to the speaker the other day, and I told him, I said, it's not every day that you hear people complaining that the legislature is moving too quickly. And we're starting to hear some of that. It's like, oh, why are you moving so fast? And we have a sense of urgency that we have heard from the voters. And that is why we're trying to take that sense of urgency and make some changes happen.
But in combination with that sense of urgency, you don't feel you're going too fast and missing anything as the process goes along? It's a thoughtful process?
It is a thoughtful process, and we have had tremendous amounts of input from citizens, from you know, the folks who are involved in education, for example, from superintendents and school boards. We've had input from the public in general. We've had input from Democrats, both in the House and the Senate. We've had people in the House and the Senate, you know, working with us. We've had a tremendous number of staff involved in trying to check everything and make sure this is right. And so there has been a lot of work done, but it's really because we focused so much on getting the tax program done and getting the budget done early that we have been able to pull this off. You know, we got into a system here in Michigan where we just got used to the fact that it would be late September before the budget was done. But it wasn't always that way. So with the new leadership in place, we said, look, we can do this earlier if we focus and we really get to work on it.
Do you think there's some consensus coming together from across the aisle as well, or is it a little too early for that? Are they still kind of surprised at some of the cuts?
I think there will always be some difference of opinion on that. I mean, obviously, you know, we talk a lot about bipartisanship, and that means listening and offering to listen to debate. We have had a number of Democratic amendments added to various bills that we've moved. They end up voting against the bill in its final form, but they had their amendments added because we listened and we heard some things that might improve. But, you know, when you come down to the final vote, you have essentially a two-party system in this country for a reason. You have two very different ideologies in terms of how we should be doing things. So it shouldn't surprise anyone that when we come down to that final vote, you'll have Republicans on one side and Democrats on the other. You'll see some crossover back and forth, obviously, as people have their individual districts and their constituents to vote on behalf of. But I think that the process has been good and inclusive, and that helps the process overall.
House Speaker Jace Bolger pleased with with this vote today?
He is very happy with being able to make this kind of progress this quickly, being able to show people that we can have a structurally balanced budget. He has been very committed to saying, how do we address the long-term debt that has frankly been ignored for too long? And he's worried about, he's got kids and his eventual grandkids. He doesn't want them dealing with the problem that we are facing today.
Well, Ari, as always, I appreciate your point of view and walking us through all of this. There's a lot going on, and I appreciate having the very latest as we speak tonight. Thank you.
Always appreciate the opportunity. Thanks, Cheryl.
Thank you very much. Ari Adler, who is spokesman for House Speaker Republican Jace Bulger, will be back with more Fritz and Friends on 1320 WILS after this.
Here's your updated Capital City forecast from More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS. Tonight, scattered showers likely with the possibility of thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a low of 51. Tomorrow, partly sunny with a high of 71. And tomorrow night, mostly cloudy, a low of 54. Again, tonight, scattered showers with the possibility of thunderstorms, a low of 51. Now stay tuned for more Fritz and Friends on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Hi, I'm Tony Young from Young Chevrolet Cadillac here in Owosso, Mid-Michigan's number one Cadillac dealer. That's right, Cadillacs truly do cost less in Owosso. We've got over 100 Cadillac CTSs in stock. You can drive them as low as $277 a month. That's right, a Lansing-built 2011 Cadillac CTS as low as $277 a month, or a Cadillac SRX as low as $313 a month. We're going to have a big push this month.